Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
My King, through eternal ages, let His praises ring. Glory to the highest, I will shout and I'll sing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ, my Savior. I'm standing on the promises of God. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, and by the living word of God I shall prevail. I'm standing on the promises of God. Promises of Christ, my Savior, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Good morning, and thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you're enjoying the message preached by my father, the late Dr. J. Harold Lohman, titled The Peerless Person. We'll complete that message today, and if you'd like your own personal copy of any of the sermons that are shared on this radio program, you can write and request the program. Just give us the date or the title of the sermon. I'll be glad to send it out to you in CD format. I do hope you'll pray for me as I am in revival meetings this last weekend of the month of April. I am at Wayside Community Church in Mercer, Pennsylvania through Sunday, the 27th of this month. And then I'm going to travel to Mount Orab, Ohio, May 4 to 7 to Cross Point Wesleyan Church for revival services. And then for our friends who listen to us on WPET out of Greensboro, North Carolina, on Mother's Day, I'll be at Charity Baptist Church, both the morning and evening service. That's May the 11th. And then I'm going to travel to Princeton, Indiana on May the 16th through May the 18th to the First General Baptist Church in Princeton, Indiana. So I covet your prayers as I'm traveling these days in revival services. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is always to bring this program to our listening audience. You've blessed so many people down through the years, and as we've often said, only eternity will reveal those who have been encouraged and those who have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus because of this radio program, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. We ask that you would be with those who are listening that might have special needs. We know that there are those that deal with physical issues. Some of our listening audience, some of those who support the program, are up in years and need a physical touch right now, and I pray for them. Father, thank you so much for your love in our lives, for your blessings. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget to write to me. As we often say on the program, we're listener-supported, and we depend upon our listening audience. And many of the people who supported Dad when he was producing the program have gone on to be with Jesus, have joined Dad in that heavenly throng, and need for new ones to step up and help us out. And some have, and I thank you for that. So would you write to me if you've never written to us before? The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Thanks so much for your willingness to pray about that and even do that.
Jesus is reconciler, harmonizer, healer, and savior. And though time is spread over 1900 years, this man Jesus still lives. Herod could not seduce him. Satan could not deceive him. Death could not destroy him. And the grave could not hold him. One day he left the glories of heaven for the abuses of men, from the crown in its glory to the cross in its curse. From riches to poverty, from a son to a servant, made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and became the Son of Man, that you and I might become the sons of God. He was rich, but for our sakes he became poor. You say, how poor was he? He didn't own the cradle in which he slept, nor the beast on which he rode, nor the boat in which he cruised, nor the grave in which he was buried. He slept in another man's cradle, rode on another man's beast, and cruised in another man's boat, and was buried in another man's mausoleum. When he died, the world rushed in, took an inventory of what he possessed, and all they found were the clothes that he wore by day and slept in by night. The book says the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. But I repeat, he was rich, but for our sakes he became poor and became the Son of Man, that you and I might become the sons of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the peerless person. But look, if you will, at what the philosopher had to say about this man Jesus to the architect He's the chief cornerstone. To the artist, he's the one altogether lovely. To the astronomer, he's the bright and morning star. To the baker, he's the living bread. To the banker, he's the unsearchable riches. To the bride, he's the bridegroom. To the farmer, he's the Lord of harvest. To the florist, he's the rose of Sharon. To the geologist, he's the rock of ages. To the jeweler, he's the precious stone. To the sailor, he's the anchor of the soul. To the student, he is the truth. And to the sinner, he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And he is the one, beloved, that appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And he is the peerless person, the wonderful, the counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright in the Morning Star, the one altogether lovely, and the fairest of 10,000. Into my soul, and blessed be God, he's my coming king this morning. The peerless person, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. But this text not only speaks of the peerless person, but it talks about the paramount purpose. Why did he come? He came to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. You see, beloved, he didn't come into this world to heal the sick. He didn't come to open blinded eyes and unstop deaf ears and cause the lame man to leap as an hart. He didn't come to raise the dead. These things that he did of that nature while he was here on this earth were things that it was necessary for him to do to prove to men that he was the promised and looked for Messiah. But that wasn't his primary purpose, ladies and gentlemen. The primary purpose of the coming of Jesus Christ and the peculiar prerogative of his coming was to deal with that thing that breaks hearts, that destroys families, that throws children on the mercy of the world. He came to deal with that thing, Miss Kind Lady, that gnaws away at your inner being, that keeps you from having peace and rest and assurance and tranquility and serenity of soul, that thing we call sin. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, mark it well, sin is still a present reality. I believe I can say without fear of contradiction that we've never seen as much widespread sin and licentious revelry as we're seeing today. And the tragedy is, it's still having its effect upon a lot of people that are identified with the church. You see, it was sin that caused Peter to tell a lie. Now that may shock you, but when the master pressed him one day and in essence said, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, I'll go with you to prison and even unto death. Jesus could look at the secrets of his heart, and he said, Peter, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. And ladies and gentlemen, I ask you, have you ever considered where Peter was when the shadows of Calvary were hanging over the master's head? Where was he? He was out there warming his hands with the enemy's fire. Peter was at the same place that day that a lot of professed Christians are when they ought to be in the thick of the battle. And somebody pressed him and said to Peter, aren't you one of his? He said, I don't know him. Somebody else pressed him and said, don't you belong to him? I don't know him. And a little damsel pressed him and and said, "Aren't you one of his?" And the book says he swore that he didn't know him. And ladies and gentlemen, the cock crew. Now that's one of the things that he appeared to deal with. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're aware that there's something still existent in your heart this morning that condemns you, he came to put that away, to set you free. You see, it was sin that caused Ananias and Sapphira to be cheaters. It was sin that caused Demas to forsake him, because the book says, "Having loved this present world, Demas hath forsaken me." And I say this with all the love that could be in a preacher's heart. With all of your social activities, and with all of your clubs, and all of your lodges, and all of your affiliation with the secular world, when that takes first place in your heart above the activity of the building of the kingdom and the enlargement of the Christian community, you're warming your hands at the enemy's fire. I've been in revivals, beloved, when people put their club first and their lodge first and their secular activities first, and warm their hands with the secular fires when the battle was on at the prayer meeting and at Sunday night meeting and enduring revival. He came to deal with that. And when you let him deal with it, there will be a change that will take place. And you'll not only know the change has been activated, but somebody else will know it's taken place. The paramount purpose, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. But this text not only speaks of the peerless person and the paramount purpose, but it speaks of the painful pathway by the sacrifice of himself. Now, he was divine, yet he was human. And he had feelings in the flesh, just like you and I have feelings, to the point that he could be hurt physically, to the point of pain. And have you ever stopped to realize how much he must have suffered that day when they drove those nails in his hands? Have you ever given any consideration, kind lady, dear man, of how much he must have suffered when they pressed that unfitted crown of thorns on his brow? And when they beat him? And when he hung there and the scorching sun parching his lips, until he became so thirsty and they put the gall of the vinegar to his mouth? You imagine you would suffer if they drove some nails in your hands? I walked up a flower-strewn pathway at Cypress Garden some time ago, and I came to what was captioned as the thorn bush. And the caption at the base of that thorn bush said, "The crown of thorns," the same kind of thorns they used when they plaited the crown that Jesus wore. And I stood there, and chills ran over me as I looked at those sharp thorns as long as my finger and as sharp as a needle. And my blood almost ran cold to think that the Prince of Heaven, the majestic Christ, suffered that kind of pain the day that he died in order that you and I might be delivered from sin. And listen, mister. Listen, kind lady. If there had been nobody but you, he'd have done that. because that was his primary purpose, his peculiar prerogative, to put away sin. Somebody said the day that he died, the Prince of Heaven died on the brow of the city dump. And someone else said the imps of hell held a banquet in the soul of the Savior that day. I don't know about that, but I know this, the sun refused to shine. And I know the veil rent in twain in the temple. And I know that he made it possible that day that I would never have to stand without the camp with a lamb, a spotless sacrifice, and wait till the sin offering was made to atone for my sin, because that day he became my atoning sacrifice, my high priest. The painful pathway. Some years ago in a northern city, a young lady was putting the finishing touches on her wedding gown, preparatory to going to the church for her wedding. The wedding party was already arriving. Her father was waiting in the front room to accompany his daughter to the church to give her hand in marriage. And she came down the stairs in that beautiful, flowing wedding gown. And she said, "Dad, do I look presentable?" "Oh," he says, "you're so lovely, so beautiful." But he said, "Turn around, let me see the train of your dress." And as she turned around, the train of that beautiful wedding gown brushed too close to an open fire. And in an instant, she was in flames. Her father flung himself out of the chair and embraced his daughter and smothered those flames to the point that she was not severely burned. Her hair was singed to a degree, but his coat and shirt sleeves were burned off, and his hands and his arms were burned severely. The wedding was postponed. After a few weeks of hospitalization and recuperation, with his hands and his arms still bandaged, he walked down the aisle and gave his daughter's hand in marriage. 2 years passed and she received a telegram one evening, "Sis, Dad just passed away. Get home as soon as you can." She said her husband and I went home. They'd already prepared his body and brought it home. She said, "When I walked into the room and I walked up to the casket, I could not refrain from putting a kiss on his brow." And she said, "I looked at that silent form and I noticed that things didn't look right. When they prepared his body, they left his hands down by his side and covered them with the lining in the casket." She said, "I reached down and took hold of the lining and I pushed it back. And I saw the ugliest hands I ever saw in my life." And she said, "I never saw hands look like that. So ugly." She said, "I said to my husband, I know why they hid his hands. They're so ugly. They're so scarred." She said, "I reached down and I took hold of the right hand. It was cold and stiff and I pulled it out as far as I could. And I did likewise with the right hand and I pushed the lining back against the casket." She said, "I want to leave them out. I know they're ugly. I know they're scarred. And I know they're dark. But I want to leave them out because I'm not ashamed of them. Because he did it for me. I love to live. And I hope if Jesus tarries, he lets me live a long time. But ladies and gentlemen, I'd rather die this morning on this platform at Brown City, Michigan, than have Brother Jones and some of his staff assist my wife
and getting my body back to North Carolina than to ever look at that cross and the one hanging there, or the one who hung there, and look at those nail-scarred hands and act like I was ashamed of them. I'd rather die this morning. And the reason I'm not ashamed of those hands, scarred, blood-stained, is because He did it for me. He did it for me. He hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And I don't mean to question your integrity, and I'm asking you to cast away your confidence, but I just want to ask you a very personal question. Have you loved Him like you should? Have you been living close to Him like you ought to?
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.